Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Self-help
from the hip.
Small
dose.
We're talking that shit.
Small
dose.
And keeping it real.
Small dose.
With me and
Seals.
It's so funky.
You? We can hear you.
Oh my God. Still don't know how to do it. After all this time. Use camera. Allow. Start. Hi.
Use camera. Allow.
My God. Look at
Ann.
Curls, curly hair, girls.
Curly hair.
So cute.
What's going on?
Oh my gosh. Last time I saw you, you were moving to LA.
Right. We were in a bar. Didn't we randomly run into each other?
Yes.
We were down like by Bleecker. Like down the West Village, and we randomly ran to each other, and then
I was having a shit night. I was so sad, and you were too.
Yeah, I think we both got dumped,
something like that.
I want to say that we had both simultaneously been dumped, and we were just like a toast to us.
Oh my God, you cheered me up so much. It was on McDougal Street. I remember.
Yes,
very clearly.
I think we went to the Olive Tree. Which is right above.
Yes.
Which is right above
the comedy cellar.
Yeah.
I should have put makeup on. I'm sorry.
No, I only do this for my own, like,
okay.
Fighting depression. Like, I literally. Okay.
I know it helped. That's why I should have like, myself brush my teeth, something.
That's all this is about. So every episode we talk about a particular topic. So like side effects of da da da. And so I felt like it would be apropos to do side effects of songwriting with
you.
Oh,
wow. That's really cool.
Like, you'd be like writing, you know?
Just making shit up, you know? Pretending. I don't know what happens. Can I get a real job? No. So this is what I do.
Just making shit up.
Make it up.
That really like touched my heart because you know why? Because like everyone takes everything they do so seriously. And it's like,
oh my God.
Yes, like we're not bullshitting, but you know, people be like, Amanda, like, where do you find the inspiration for your craft? And like the, and I'm just
with
like,
this.
Yes, just like all of this. Like, where do you find like, the inspiration for your craft and like the connectivity that you have to the world? I'm just like, man.
That's a hard question.
Like, I don't know.
Is that right? Like, right. So, like, where does, yeah. Is God real? I don't know.
I don't know.
I just making it up. I don't, as I go along.
Literally. And I feel like, so in our talking about songwriting, you know, so I, let me just say this.
Oh God. We both wore yellow today.
I know. Look at us. Let me tell y'all. Emily King opened on the Flowetry tour. And I wanna, but we had met before.
I think we did.
Passing before. I want to say we met at this random outdoor park event in Harlem. And I feel like that's when you were like, oh, I'm going to be opening for Flowetry.
Wow.
I feel like that may be it. But I know that we had met before. And then like Jeremy, who you write a lot with, like, yeah. Or you still do? You did?
Yeah, did. Yeah. We collaborate all the time. Mm-hmm.
So Jeremy had like played guitar for me a few times. This is back in my singing days.
Oh, hell yes. Yeah,
I was trying to be a singer.
Girl, you were killing it.
I was trying. The music industry killed me. And so that's a conversation I also want us to have because.
Thank God it's changed. Yeah.
And somewhat. So that's what because I feel like when you opened for us on the Flowetry tour, like. You had like your fans, you know, and you have really built like an organic fan base.
Did I have fans?
believe you had fans then.
I think those were hired actors. It was part of my development deal budget.
So tell me this. How did you get your first deal? Because I feel like you have a quote unquote indie vibe. You know what I mean? It's an indie, indie vibe. But I don't know if you're actually independent, but you got an indie vibe, you know?
Yeah. I'm trying to. Yeah, it's all up front. I'm a daughter of a billionaire.
Fair.
Billionaire jazz singer. Singers. How did I get it? Well, I wanted it all, right? In the beginning, as a kid, you want to be a star. And I just kind of like started making demos at home, and I eventually got through my mother. Thank you. Shout out to mom. I got it into the hands of this wonderful guy, Bill Brown, who worked at ASCAP, who got it into the hands of Chucky Thompson, who is like famed bad boy hitman.
Yes.
Love Chucky so much. And Chucky, he really mentored me. There was like 2 or 3 years where we were just shopping around to labels, so we would go to the labels and have meetings, and eventually we got to Clive Davis, long story endless, and I sang for him. I think he was half awake, and and then I got signed, you know, I got signed to this development deal with J Records. I didn't really know what that was.
And for those folks who don't know, J Records was where Alicia was, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. She. So we both had the same A&R, Peter Edge, who, you know, was a really enthusiastic music fan, but I was just so young and confused and impressionable and just did what everybody else told me to do.
What are some of the things that people would tell you, particularly around like the music that you should be writing?
It was a lot of trial and error. I mean, it was a learning experience, because I would get in the studio with whoever wrote the biggest hit of the day, because everyone was always chasing that. And you'd get in and you'd be like, well, this doesn't fit me at all, but let's try it out. You know, start rapping. start rapping. You know.
Trying to picture you in the studio like, yo, turn me up. Turn me up, yo. Turn me up.
I never got past that much. I can't do it. Oh God, I'm sweating thinking about the cringy things that I've done in my life. Oh God.
But it's all with like the effort of enthusiasm, and you're just like, I feel like in those situations, you're like, well, I don't know better than these people, so like I have to try.
Yes, that's exactly what I thought.
Even you though know? You actually do, like you know better about you, but no one empowers you to think that. No one empowers you to think that.
No, not when, I don't know, I just like don't remember. I mean, I did have definitely certain people, but everyone has sort of their own best interests at heart, you know, which is, it's not like, I totally understand that. That's why you just have to be strong. So I was learning how to be strong by being weak first, which is
fair.
My favorite thing to do. And I learned the hard way. It, you know, and it was just so, it was such a movie. It was such a cliche, the whole thing. You know, the hairstylist gets paid before the musicians. And I mean, the delicious sushi dinners were fantastic. And the,
and you found
the car
out
services, you know, you have like an appointment around the corner and you ride in a limousine.
I mean, there you was, find out you're paying for it.
Yeah, and then right, then you get the bill. Then you don't get paid for your record until you're 87 years old.
What happened here?
Right. I should have ordered more rolls, sushi rolls.
Right. If I was paying for that. So when do you think the tide started to turn for you as a songwriter? Because I feel like I saw your music shift. Like at first, I feel like it felt not pop is not the word, but it felt more, it wasn't even R&B. I feel like you had more of like a soul vibe. It was like, it was soul. And then, but it was more like a pop soul kind of energy. No, I know what it was. Okay.
Yeah.
It felt more like an R&B soul, whereas I feel like you're in this other space now that feels like folk soul, which is some whole
other. Oh, okay. Look out.
I feel like you
that's done- because I'm old now.
Ditto. We're here.
That's when it gets funny, put the phone in it.
I feel like, you know, the term that they would have for it is like adult contemporary. But ooh. I don't like that because
I don't like that either.
I don't like that. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like like Nora came out and did an album and it was cute, but like you had been doing that.
Oh, you're sweet. I remember when Nora came out because everyone at the label had like a clipboard with exactly what she did to get. And it's like all it should have said was like, she went and made music that she likes. And that's what, you know, that's what y'all are missing here. So yeah, but that was amazing.
So how did the shift come? Like, was it?
How did the shift? I got fired. I got fired from J Records. They dropped me, you know, and it was.
What did they give to when they drop somebody? Is it like, you're just not selling enough? Like what?
Yes, there was a lot of like the label was changing and evolving and eventually dispersed. But basically, I did not sell enough records. I got nominated for a Grammy, the record did. And I just remember I wasn't really as proud of that record as I should have been. Mm-hmm. You know, so like I just wasn't like listening to it on the daily. And so that's what I learned. At the same time, you mentioned Jeremy, who was my production partner and collaborator. He was the sideman back then. He was doing gigs, and he actually, that Flower Tree tour was the first time that he did gigs with me. And so right around when I got dropped, I started discovering his music as like this incredible producer, and he sings, plays everything. And so, you know, he kind of rescued me from the rubble and was just like, we're going to do this. You don't need a big budget. Like, we're going to learn how to, he knew how to work the laptop back then. This was like right when MySpace started.
Yes. 08.
Right. Yes. And so the internet was becoming a thing and the gatekeepers were less important. You had like direct access with people. And so everything was like shifting around that time. And so he's really the one that taught me, don't put out anything that you don't love. Don't do it, you know, because I always had this desperation around me. Like, you got to put stuff out. You got to stay relevant. You got to get out there. You got to. And he was like, you know, no one ever remembers the time it takes to make something, but you're going to remember what's out there. You know, you got to sleep with that for the rest of your life.
Yes.
And they'll either applaud it or they'd be like, that wasn't good.
That wasn't good.
That wasn't good. So...
Well, what was different about those songs that you feel like made you proud of them in a way that you weren't of the others?
I felt like there was no A&R for one thing. You know, I stopped working with.
Let me just cut you right there.
Yeah.
For just the sake of folks, like, can you explain what the role of an A&R is?
Yes.
Because I feel like we all hear about A&Rs and it's like, right. What exactly is an A&R and what are they supposed to do?
Artists and repertoire, I believe. It's so they scout musicians to sign to the label and they find artists, they develop the artists, they often will couple the artists with songwriters and producers and sort of sculpt the situation, which... You know, I mean, there's been successful versions of that, and I really learned a lot from being in that situation. But the one thing about it is you always have somebody giving their opinion about your creative process or whatever it is that you're making. And so after I got dropped from the label, it was just me. I had to answer to me, which was also a pain in the ass. But, fair. You know, you basically like... What do I like? 100% me, you know, without asking, do you think that this is the right, you know, ain't drum? That what do you think?
Like what? Having to, is yes! that something having to be like the bottom line, like the executive decision maker? Like you want it and then you get it and you're like, but that means if this is whack, I'm the only one to blame.
Yes. You see how I blamed everybody else in the start of the interview?
Right.
You're so right. That's scary too. So I certainly wasn't by myself. I should say Jeremy was a big influence on me and I trusted his opinion. He was very frank when he didn't like something. And I was that taught me to be stronger, in my opinion, because in those moments, I would stand with what I believe. I said, you know, this has to be the verse here. I just feel that way. And you know, because when it just hurts, you know, when like someone is telling you it's yes. what it shouldn't be, and it, you're like, this, I'm gonna punch you.
You don't know. You don't know my heart.
I'm gonna punch you. Yeah, you don't know. And in those moments, it becomes like this physical reaction, and you have to follow that. And so he taught me that. A lot of the times we agreed with we were on the same page, which was really great. So I really attribute a lot of like me just surviving to Jeremy, because I was really down and out at that point.
So there's a lot of music people, right? There's artists, there's, you know, performers. I delineate between the two. There's folks who sing songs that other people write, and there's no shade to that. But songwriters are crafting in a different way and with a different process. When did you begin to write songs?
I started, my mother was working on a project, and she's a musician, and she had a producer who was at the house. And I remember he would like put on a track, like just a drum track or something. And I remember thinking like, oh, I could probably come up with something over that. You know, like I could probably.
Are you like you know, 17?
I was like 15 at that point. Mm-hmm. And so I started taking guitar lessons, because I always wanted to sing, you know, something around the campfire. And like Lauren had her Miss Education album out. Yeah. And I was like, I just want to do that.
Yes.
That was so, so good. And so that sort of, once I learned like three chords, I sort of started improvising. And I just enjoyed, especially what I realized, because when I was younger, I always knew I wanted to be a singer because my parents are singers. But I tried like belting like Mariah, and Whitney would come on and I'd be like, you know, I couldn't do what they did. I tried. I was like, most people can't. But I just realized, hey, I can write a song that fits my voice, that makes my voice sound good. When instead I tell of trying you to sing all these other songs.
I relate to this so crazy. I used to really be down in my basement, like, and I, like, I used to really, yeah. And then, yes. like, in the background. And I remember when I was trying to do music, I'm not going to say trying. I did music and I was
You
down.
Did it. Hell
but yeah. I did music. And I remember recording a song, and I was so proud of it. When I asked my mom, I'm like, come downstairs, listen to this. Yes. And I play her the song, and she's like, I find you singing hard.
Oh, no.
Hard. Hold on, let me let the dog out.
Oh, that is so cute. It is hard to play stuff for mom and grandmom, I should say.
My mom could have been an A&R. Like, my mom, no, right. Legit, my mom
she's,
could have been an A&R because my
she's got the demeanor.
My uncles were all musicians. So like wow. they ended up being like professionals, but like my uncle came to live with her when he was 15, and he had a band in the garage. The band was called Minimum Wage.
Oh
and,
shit.
And like, I mean, he went on to become a judge in Grenada, but like he still wow. has a band. Like he's still not like, I'm like,
that's awesome.
Like he's,
you got to send me some clips.
I will, because it's, yeah. hilarious.
That's a great band name too.
Minimum Wage. And then and the other band that her other brother had when they were in Grenada was called Teenage Thrillers.
So oh, they how cute.
Awesome band names.
Oh my
Teenage
God.
Thrillers and Minimum Wage. But I remember, you know, I went to record Man Woman Boogie with Q-Tip.
Mm.
And he played me. He was like, this is the hook. And I was like, getting down is something to do between and man. He was like, let's bring it down a notch. And I was like, okay, getting down is something. And he was like, more. And I was like, getting down is something. He's like, more. I'm like, damn, what if, So then finally, I just went extreme. And I was like, getting down is something to do between woman and man. He was like,
oh, that that's right there, cool.
He was like, that's your pocket. And that's I was awesome. Like, what? And that opened a door for me. But I feel like it's so dope to hear you say that, because I think a lot of folks feel like if you're not singing like Jasmine Sullivan, then it's a wash. And it's right. like, oh, there's tone and there's space.
Right.
Like, your voice is just like, I don't know. Oh. Like, your voice is just air. Like it's in a way I've never heard air before. I'm like, how do you do that?
I'm always dizzy. I'm always just about to pass out. Oh my God, that is such a good point. I've actually been taking vocal lessons just like recently. And one of the things that I learned was, I was like, I'm not taking enough breath in at the start of the phrase. And he was like, no, you're just letting a lot out. I was like, why didn't you tell me this before?
I'm telling you, I'd be listening and I'm like, how do you let all of that air out and still hit the note?
It comes out through my nose, my ears, like it's coming out, you know?
Like it's literally like, you keep pulling, like you, I can't do it. And that takes control though, because your vocal cords are having to really like hold that. And that is special.
Thank you. You know, it's interesting because I'm still learning I'm learning about my voice. I'm trying to figure out how to control it and how to, you know, because just like you said, like I think as artists, we always compare ourselves to everybody else, right? So like I'll go see a juggler and I'll be like, I should have been a juggler. Fuck. You know, or like somebody in my mind, and I'm like, what? They're so great. Why am I doing this? And it's always this, like, you're always taking the best things. And I think that's, you know, that's like kind of good to want to be better, but you got to cut yourself some slack.
Listen, my man turned to me yesterday and in full consternation went, babe, how come I'm not good at NBA 2K, yo? And I'm
like sad, really upset.
Like he was like thinking, like I caught him like think in thought. And I was like, right. Yo, what are you thinking about? And he was just like, I just don't understand. I'm like, but
what did you tell him?
I was like, but you're not a gamer.
Right.
And he's like, no, it's IQ. It's game IQ. He was like, I played basketball for, like, he's played basketball for various leagues. I mean, he's a baller. And he was just like, I just feel like I should be able to figure this out. And like,
right.
He's an artist. Like, he's a producer and an audio engineer. And I feel like, to your point, it's just like, yeah. You want to be better.
Yeah. And you're always, yeah. And you're always looking at a way to enlighten your insecurity. Like, how can I highlight the things that make me feel bad about myself?
Awesome.
You know, let's do it. Which I'm trying to think, COVID, man, so much self-reflection during these times.
A bit too much.
It's a little much. Life is a little rude right now.
It's just loud in its silence.
Loud. Oh, that's beautiful. Yes, it is. It is loud and silent.
Loud and silent.
Loud and silent.
Yeah!
Yes! How has that not been done? I don't know.
Wait, for a second, I thought your headphone was like a crossbody purse strap. Why did she put on a purse? Where is she? What's she about to do?
I've never had a purse with a thin strap. I'm more of a thick strap purse, thick but strap I really down. it's very dainty and sweet, and I think I will try to get one.
I feel like it would be a look. I mean, not it's that cute. You're going anywhere, because you're in New York, to my knowledge, and y'all ain't going nowhere.
Especially today, it's like the biggest snowstorm in history or something.
Bullshit.
It's crazy out there.
Bullshit. It's like 2 feet of snow.
Dude,
No, y'all need to understand that every year New Yorkers are like, oh my God, this is the biggest snowstorm I've ever
seen. Biggest snowstorm in history. No, this is...
It ends up snowing 3 inches, then it melts.
Do you miss New York?
No!
tell me you do, please. Listen, you don't regret your decision?
What I miss about New York, there's like moments, like when Biden won, I missed New York.
Dude.
Because you miss the fact that we're all in this space together. And so we're celebrating, you know, like when Prince passed away, like I was in LA, you know, and I wish I could have celebrated that with the city.
I was in LA too. You
know what I'm saying? Yeah. So like, it's like those moments, because nobody does those moments like New York. And I think what it's worth, like, I do miss just the concentratedness of things and like being able to like, go places, but it's like I always tell my dude when we're watching movies, I'm like, because that's all we basically do at this point, right? You just like, and I'm just like, every time it's a New York movie, I'm like, oh, that's
right, right.
And I like feel a sense of pride, you know,
of course,
know these places. But I took me a minute to miss New York because like when I left New York, I was done.
I caught you right when you left, and I was like, I was so excited for you, because it's hard to leave New York. It makes you want to stay because your identity is so wrapped up in being a New Yorker,
and you think there's nowhere else you can live. I mean, you're just like, where the fuck else do I live now? And then you go live somewhere else and you're like, how was I doing that?
Like, that's, do you love it there? Should I come out?
Yeah, come out. Here's the thing about LA. LA is what you make it in a way that New York makes you. So like New York is New York. You either figure it out or you don't, and it will run you out. LA has so many enclaves of like spaces that you can like make your own. Like, I mean,
that's a good point.
You know, we live, you know, in a particular area right now that is very different from where I want to move. Right. And like, I wouldn't say that there's much of that in New York. Like, how much, you know what I'm saying? Like, Harlem is Harlem, Brooklyn, but at the end of the day,
garbage is garbage. Like, you know, this garbage or this one.
These rats, those rats. Which rats?
Basically,
you know, like, I mean, in Brooklyn, you're going to get more West Indian stores. Like, that's, I mean, there's like kind of stuff like that.
Yeah. So,
but I will say, like, for open space and for nature, like
in
my oldness, I reached a point where I just needed nature, like for my art and like open space for my art.
Yes, so good for the soul. Yeah, I mean, I was listening to a podcast that said just pictures of plants are good for you.
The first thing
doesn't even have to be real.
The first thing I noticed was that you have like green.
Look, you could tell how crazy I'm going. Every time, every breakdown is a plant. Broke down, got that one. So that's how I measure them.
So, okay, that's a good question that form. Do you write more when you are in a happy space or when you're in a breakdown space?
Man, is there any
difference?
Yeah, I think, well, I've been, honestly, it's been a hard time. I mean, obviously for everyone, but I've had moments where I'm crying and I'm just like, really? Now I'm supposed to write a song? Like, it's like the last thing you want to do when you're feeling sorry for yourself is like become a champion and make a song or whatever people tell you, you know?
Yep.
But at the same time, music has been such a relief from concern for me to just sit there, because I've been doing the meditation apps too, but you can also just play a song to get out of your worries and fears. And I actually forgot that. I've been sitting here in silence. That's my problem. I'm just like, if I can't find a show on Netflix in 5 minutes, I'm just sitting here on Instagram in silence. And that is not good. So I'm like, music, use it.
I don't think enough people know how funny you are.
I wouldn't call myself funny. Funny
I'm calling you funny, and I'm a comedian. So if I call you funny, that's okay. Not lightly.
Well, now
I don't think
it's all downhill.
Because dry humor is my favorite humor, and you are the Sahara. Like, but as we're doing this podcast, I'm just like, Emily is fucking delightful, and people need to know.
Girl, I was so excited to talk to you because you lit me up in that bar. That's like 7 years ago. I can vividly imagine us there, sitting at the bar for like 2 hours.
Yes. Just like, and it was raining. Dying. I remember it was raining. It was like, I remember like, I don't even know why I was down there.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, Alan? And you're like, Amanda? And we're like, hey. I'm like, what are you doing? You're like, nothing. I'm like, problems. And it was like,
yeah.
I was like, what do you do? Let's shelter from our problems in here. I mean,
I love those moments. I'm so grateful for
organic,
that.
Organic, right? Like, they're just very,
yes.
I mean, I think that's part of what makes this such a difficult time, especially as a songwriter and creative, is like the organic moments we create from are so limited in their variant.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. That's right. Yeah. Everything, we're kind of living vicariously through the media and entertainment that we have.
I mean, I guess essentially like this is when imagination
should kick in.
Yeah.
But we all be children right now?
Yeah. I've had to genuinely make a concerted effort.
Yes.
Literally, to get your imagination going, Amanda. Like, get it going.
Yes. And how do you do so?
I've been just to your point, it hasn't been that I've been living vicariously through the entertainment I've been watching, but I've been purposely watching stuff that I feel like is jump starting my mind. I've been watching a lot of a lot of Fran Lebowitz because
how cute was that show?
Well, then I went back and watched Public Speaking, which is 10 years old, and so and she's like, there were clips in the new Pretended to City. There were clips from her interviews with Toni Morrison in there, but then in Public Speaking, they show like way longer stuff.
I gotta see that.
And you get to see the rapport between them, which was really dope. But like, I've been watching. So to your point, I was doing a lot of the silent stuff. Like I was just in silence. Mm-hmm. And now I make it a point, like I watch something every day. Like I watch something every day.
Yes, but like things that you learn from.
Yeah.
It's
a variety. It might be things I learn from. It might be something that I know that I like.
Yeah.
I know that I like this.
And you can just do that for you.
Yes.
As a self-care.
Yes.
Yes.
So as a visual artist, I've been forcing myself, because when I do visual art, it jumpstarts every other creative space for me, whether it's like writing or like humor. It kind of
That's such a good point. I just want to say thank you for reminding me, because we think often as songwriters, you just got to sit down at the piano or whatever and just focus and just spit out a song. But oftentimes other things will kickstart this creative process, walking, painting, cooking. Yes. So thank you for that.
Well, I've had to just kind of like, we just don't have the same, I think we took a lot, I'm not gonna say we took it for granted, but I think we just didn't realize how, particularly if you live in a city like New York, you are just, it's a feast of inspiration every day, right? Choose for it to be, right? Like if you go out, you can be stumped and be like, you know what? Let me just leave the fucking house. Something's gonna hit me.
Literally.
And go outside physically. With an awareness, and then you see some shit and you're like, aha, you know? But like that doesn't get to happen when you're just like in the house. So you have to start trying to find creativity in these other spaces. And for some reason, like the visual art stuff has been a jumpstart for me. So like, I've been finding ways to like weave it into other stuff I'm doing. So like I do Smart, Funny and Black, which is my virtual show. And normally I would just make a regular ass flyer and call it a day. But instead I was like, maybe try and do like an artsy flyer.
Hey. Right. And that gives you a reason to create.
Yes.
And get to, yes. Beautiful. So I, this is like a, it's a training period that we're in.
I think,
you know, it's like we, I was laying in bed the other day and I said, nobody is coming to help me right now.
No, no,
this is what grown-up life is. And I think personally, I've managed to avoid myself all of these years because I've been distracted by work and I have things that do. And here I am. Honestly, I'm alone for the first time in my whole life. Like I'm living by myself for the first time in my whole life.
And you're used to being on tour, which is also different.
Yes. I'm used to having a schedule and like talking to people and just, it's just always something keeping me from myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. From, and so I'm, you know, and of course I'm not alone in this. This is a crazy time for everyone, but I'm trying to do what you're doing is like have deliberate things throughout the day to keep you engaged and to keep your mind from mush and to, you know, inspire the creative process. If it's not coming from outside sources.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
I have an app.
Yeah.
Called Wheel Decide. It's not even an app. It's a .com. It's Wheel Decide.
Oh,
it's like a Wheel of Fortune wheel. And mm-hmm. you can put in different information there that you want to spin. So I have put in that Wheel Decide different types of clothing. So shorts, jeans, all black, crop tops, cords, dress. And I press Wheel Decide every morning and uh-huh. it tells me what I should wear today. And it like, because it makes it fun. Like today, I'm like, okay, I have to come up with an outfit for jeans. And it's like, no one's going to see this outfit.
No, that is so cute.
It's just the little games that we play to like keep our creativity engaged. And I know something like that can seem very banal, but it's like,
no,
that forces me to use my brain in a creative way.
And it helps you make a decision.
There you go. Wheel.
It's hard to make a decision.
You're going
sometimes.
In the living room.
Yes.
Usually if you're going somewhere, you can make a decision based on how far you're going to have to walk from the car. Is it going to be chilly? Who are you meeting? You're going in the living
room. Right. What do I wear today? What do I wear? I went and bought jogging clothes because I've always had makeshift jogging clothes, which is like jeans.
Yes.
You know, and you a jogging in sweatshirt. Jeans? Yes. Because I have body issues and I never really had proper, I wore spandex for the first time this winter, okay? But what I'm learning
for
about
the first time
publicly, yes.
I need you to know that my second album is literally called Spandex Rhymes and Soul because that's all I wore publicly for like 2 years.
I'm late to the game. I realized, you know, when you step out of the house, you think everyone's staring at me. Nobody is caring about you. Maybe they're going to judge you for a couple seconds. Sure. But they move on with their day. It's fine.
You know what? They're not judging you. They're envious. They're like, I should be wearing spandex.
They're more comfortable than I thought. And why did I bring this up? Because it enabled me to jog without an excuse. I didn't have to decide. I put out the clothes the night before and the next day, it's an easy decision. And so I'm trying to do stuff like that in my life where it's like, because oftentimes I just get confused. I don't know what to do.
Do you? Okay, here's the thing. Because I feel like I've been hearing a lot of this around art. Because right now, apparently, astrologically, there's a lot of like changing our systems of how we do things. And I feel like when it comes to like your songwriting, I don't know why I said I feel like, but do you feel like when it comes to your songwriting, like you have a process that you like go to every time that you developed? And if so, do you feel like that has shifted during this time? And if not, do you feel like one is forming?
What I always do is I always, you know, make a moment in the day. It doesn't have to be 4 hours. It could be 20 minutes of recording into my voice memo. Mm-hmm. I record, I just improvise whatever it is I'm feeling. Back to your point, it does make a difference. To you have to feel deeply things, which is, you know, nobody wants to do that, right? But it really does make for the best music, the most emotive music. So I try to sit down, I try to get into my feelings, but then it's sort of like it's like putting a puzzle together, because oftentimes the melody comes and I'll get a hint of a lyric or a concept. And then I sort of like, I go take a walk and I sing it while I'm walking in the park. And then I'll get another lyric. And then, you know, I'll take a shower and then something will come. So there's always like, I always have to deliberately say, this is my time to write, to try. And then I still have the intention that I'm writing all throughout the day, I'm writing.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily sitting at a table or even with an instrument. So it's like, you're never not writing. You always have to have the intention to be an open door for whatever comes through. You always have to be looking and listening for those ideas to form. And it takes a lot of patience for me, because oftentimes it's, you know, I finally finished a song a week ago that I had been working on for months, you know. Not always that long. But
what made this particular song take so long to write, do you think?
Sometimes I get stuck on the language. Sometimes I get stuck on honestly, just how to build the story. How, you know, I already said that in the first verse. How do I say this? Do I use if and the? I mean, I'm always scratching things out. And this one particular song, I had a situation that allowed me to finish. I went to my friend Ben Kane's studio in Brooklyn, and he had ordered some food. And I said, well, maybe I'll try to finish this song right now since you eating and stuff. And I fucking did it. I don't know, it's probably a terrible song, but I finished it while he was eating Chinese food. And I was like, this, thank you, you know. I don't know. It was like magic. You
needed that extra little time.
I needed that time. You know what else? I asked him, I said, should I, because I was going to call the session, and I said, should I finish this? And he's like, yeah, try it. Just that little encouragement. Just a little. I would not have done it otherwise, honestly. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, Ben.
My dog. Shout out to Ben Kane.
So demanding.
How cute.
He's so demanding.
What is, oh my God. What? He's so happy.
He's like, throw this.
He's like, come on, play with me.
Throw this. I didn't really understand that dogs legit would be like, play with me.
Dogs, you know, okay. Do you find yourself having fun during this whole thing? Because animals know the importance of play and fun.
Yes. I mean, sometimes I'm definitely like, we're not having fun today. Today is not a fun.
Yeah.
But then when you give yourself over, like he'll just do a frolic and you're like, you are like legit frolicking. Oh my God. And you're like, let me give into this happiness. You know,
I love that so
much. He
doesn't
know we're in a pandemic.
No.
He's like, I'm like, Christmas ornament. Like this is a Christmas decoration.
That oh, he's cute, man.
This is, and he was like, I know you've had this for 15 years, but it's right now. And
this is perfect for me.
Demolished it.
Oh, does he sleep with you?
Hell no. No.
No. He has his own. He's his own bed.
Right now, he still sleeps in the crate because he is not even 1 year old.
Oh.
He needs to be, and he's wild.
Trained. Yeah. He's
wild. I mean.
Yeah, it's good that you're training him because I have Billy and he's not trained.
Okay.
So, and he's too old to do it.
Right. No, he's. So. I think eventually, like, I mean, I can see him eventually being able to, because like when I was in Florida, he slept in the bed with me, but mm-hmm. he slept feet on the bed once, and I was like, sir.
Yikes.
Sir. And he did it like, what's up? It's a bed. Like, you know, it's like, how do right. you make a dog like see this?
Yeah, yeah. No. No, because they forget right away that they did it.
They're like, what, lady, I'm an animal. Get the fuck out of here. Like, that's
right.
to me how they think.
What did you expect?
Right. I saw a fox yesterday.
Ooh.
Like right on the other side of like the gate. I have like a hill in my backyard and there's like, I saw a fox. And I was like,
that's exciting. That's exciting.
Well, let me tell you, we were literally, me and my man were in an argument. And it was just like, no, you know, I think that this is a, there's a fox. Oh my God, it's a fox.
That settled it.
Like, and it's like, that's irrelevant. There's a fox.
And then did you go back to the argument or it was cleared up?
But once we came back to it, I wasn't even invested anymore.
Fox saving relationships.
Saving them. There was a fox. Yeah. Like,
no, I get so excited when an animal is not domesticated. I'm like, what?
I saw six deer run through my neighborhood. Six deer ran through my neighborhood the other day. Like just ran by. I was like,
stampede.
But it also made me feel like we're in another time, man.
Yes.
Animals are like, we're out here, man. We're out here.
Well, remember at the start of COVID, there was all these videos of like animals taking over cities.
They were like, oh, y'all aren't going to be out here? Can we be out here now?
Right.
So, okay. So tell me about See Me. You're Grammy nominated again.
Oh my God.
Do we care about the Grammys?
I think I'm too old to get overly excited about a nomination. But I always appreciate being acknowledged. Gosh, I'm so insecure. I love acknowledgement. But, you know, I understand. I mean, it's like you have voting members and you have, it's not a fan voting thing, you know.
Right. So ultimately, but, like, thanks, guys.
I mean, I voted for Beyonce. I mean, so let's be real. The queen.
You didn't even vote for yourself?
Come on. I'm working on my insecurity issues here. I don't know. See Me.
Like, how did it come about? Like, I mean... It's one thing I love about your music is your arrangements are perfect. And I'm going to tell you that, like your arrangements are perfect.
Thank you.
And to me, what makes your arrangements perfect is they're always just the right amount. You know, they're not a Christina Aguilera run, which is never.
Which I would do if I could.
But it's
if I could.
It's never.
I couldn't.
It's never.
Your growl though, fucking on point.
Like
I can't do it.
Like it's just always
yes.
Like,
but no,
your arrangements. Like I know one of the things I have trouble with in my art is like sometimes I feel like I go too far. Like I've had to work. Knowing, for instance, like I told you when my mom was like, I find you singing very hard, you know?
Right, and
I was like,
right.
Hey, pull it back.
Like,
I did a musical about the Wu-Tang and when yeah. It's called Mo Better Wu.
And yes.
Wu-Tang records and I turned them into jazz. And when I sent them to my homeboy, he was like, let's work on having dulcet tones.
Oh, stop it. No.
But it was the perfect note.
It was?
Yes, because I was like, cash rolls everything around me. And it was like, that's not, I know you want that to be your bag. I know you do, but that's not your bag. And so then I was like, oh, okay. Cash rules everything around me.
Ooh, I like that.
Get the money.
That's you.
But I feel like your arrangements do that. Like they prove that you don't need all of this extra for it to cut through.
Wow. Thank you. I loved what you just sang. That was so sultry.
Thank you.
Dude, it's so much, there's so much editing. There's so much like self, like, you know, I love drafts. I try to, because sometimes it is that, like sometimes you start out singing very intense, intently, and then you listen back and you're like, that's not what it needs. And so there's a lot of that, like, back and forth with yourself. And but this one song, Black Lives Matter, the movement was, you know, at its peak, I think it was over the summer in June. And it was an amazing time. It was tragic. The city was electric. Like, oh my God, I'd never seen protests that like they break all the windows on Houston Street and like fucking grab a cooler from CVS. Not that I did that, you know, but
not that.
No, that wasn't me. But it just felt like, it felt like change, you know, but it also felt like there were so many hard things and hard conversations. And my label, actually, I have to give them credit. They were like, we're making a compilation album to support Black Lives Matter. Do you have something that you can offer? And I didn't. I fucking went through my catalog and I was like, God, I have nothing, you know? Because I think I always try to like avoid being like preachy or political or who knows what.
And basically, so what I do every day on Instagram, try to avoid it. I would run to it every morning.
No, I know, but that's why I admire you, because I'm afraid to be vulnerable in those aspects of my life. And so anyway, I sat down and this melody came, and I was just like heartbroken by the whole situation and just thinking again, you know, and just seeing people react in a way that was like not believing that this was real, like people that don't believe that racism is real. Like, it's hard to relate to that idea. And so See Me was basically like, well, now you fucking see me now, like, how, what more has to happen, you know? And so that's how that song came about. And yeah, that's it. The label, that one of the ones asked me to do it.
Was that one of the ones where you sit down and you like, you know, people always talk about how Langston Hughes wrote I've Known Rivers in like 10 minutes and it's like his best poem ever.
Oh, wow.
Was that one of the ones where like you feel like it just flowed out?
Interestingly enough, yes. It just came to me. It was an earworm of sorts, like it wouldn't leave my head. And it was the first song that I'd written and recorded that quickly. And it just felt like it was like a sort of something that was like comforting me through the process of what was happening in the world.
So I had asked you this earlier, and then, you know, we like each other, so we talked about a million other things. Mm-hmm. But
girlfriends.
Like, we like each other.
Because, okay, like, you know, the running joke is that Mary is best when she's depressed.
Right.
You know, and I hate it. Because I'm let her be happy. For instance, like, I started to notice a difference in my Instagram once I wasn't, like, as angry as I've been in the past. And I was like, oh, like, y'all only like that. Y'all only like me when I'm angry. But I feel like I create better when I'm happy.
Interesting. In visual art, in every aspect of your artistic endeavors, or
every single aspect.
Yeah.
Like when I'm down.
Yeah.
I very rarely, I could only think of one time in my life when I was down. Down, 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 down. No way than I'd ever move. Okay.
I asked her to do that. Okay.
That is a reference to one of my favorite American records, her album, Seven.
A sad song.
Which, by the way, Seven is a perfect album. I told and Brendan this before we came on. I played them Selection.
What? Stop it.
I played them Selection.
Don't stop.
I just don't understand. you know, I played them Georgia.
Oh my gosh.
And because it's an album. This, to me, how you know a perfect album is when it's done. If you put it on loop, if you put it on repeat.
Yeah.
When it's done and it starts over, you don't even know.
Oh.
You're just in the vibe, man.
Right. Oh, wow. Thank you.
So that's how I, whenever, if I can do that with an album, if it can just be on repeat and it's just, and I don't even realize it, I'm like,
right. Oh, it's a short album. I think that's
But it's really also because it's cohesive in a way that people's music really isn't these days, which is their choice. But that's something I really like. But
I'm very grateful for that. Thank you for liking it. So long ago.
I'm a part of, you know, your anti-insecurity task force.
Will I ever get over it? I don't know.
And I did not know that you had a release in 2019. And so I'm very excited after this because Thanks. I get to listen to your last project. And hold on.
Thanks. There was joy in that project. There was joy. I like what you said about joy. I think it's one of the most powerful things ever. I mean, there's no denying it. Like, I don't prefer to be sad. No, I don't. I think... Okay.
Some people are like, I'm a struggling artist. Like, I take myself low so I can create and mine from that space.
No, I don't want to go. I, you know, I think often you'll make happy music to get yourself out of being sad, mm-hmm. you know? So it's like, I heard James Taylor say like, yeah, he makes soothing music for his soul because he's so tormented.
James Taylor is tormented?
I'm not a direct quote.
Okay.
So but, you know.
If that's what torment looks like, show me.
Yeah, right. No, I think he had like drug problems back day, like heroin.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. Hello.
For those who don't know, James Taylor is like a folk singer who I've never seen his voice go above this decibel.
Right?
Gliding down.
Gliding down. That's my favorite song.
I just feel like I gotta do research. I mean,
no, yeah, for sure.
Something about your songs. Even your sad songs feel like joy.
Oh,
like Down is a song about like you're ruining my life. And it's like
but let's put some snaps in there, you know?
But I love that. Because I feel like...
What do you listen to more? Do you listen more to sad music or happy or medium cool? I mean, there's also like attitude music, like put on something to feel cool. I love that kind of music too.
So there's that. Like I definitely have... Whenever I'm in my cool vibe, I typically play reggae.
Ooh, yeah.
Or like dub, like not dubstep. For those who know, not dubstep, but like
old school
80s, 70s dub. Yeah. And I always feel like when I'm in my Jeep and I'm playing that I look better. Ooh. Like I just feel like I look better than everybody else. And I'm like, I can't really argue that. Like I did.
Dude, that's the shit.
I would say I had to realize that music really does like fuck with my mood, like in a real way.
Oh my God.
So, like, I couldn't be as cavalier about my music choices in the present as I have in the past. And so,
yes,
I've had to be like more thoughtful. Like, I was telling folks that I was in the grocery store in Orlando when COVID had like really hit, and they were playing Adia by Sarah McLachlan, and I was like, "This is irresponsible. It is irresponsible." Playing Adia in the middle of a grocery store at 2 o'clock in the afternoon during a pandemic. Yeah. You're right. Trying to kill me. We are born in a believe me, Adia. We are still innocent.
Oh my God. It's such a good point.
Go ahead.
No, you know, my favorite thrift store, Beacon's Closet on 13th Street. Sometimes they just have, you know, and I get it. It's like, you're cool. You're playing like really emo stuff and it's, that's the vibe, but damn, it's like, do you want to be depressed while working? Let's put, can you throw some Stevie Wonder on this motherfucker?
Listen, throw some Stevie.
And it's not all the
be
time.
Be particular about your Stevie also, because don't play You and I. Don't play All Is Fair in Love. Don't play Rocket Love. Don't play Superwoman. Don't play I Never Thought You'd Leave in Summer. Like, there's particular Stevie that you can play with.
No, there's heartbreak. And you know, with, depending on where you are in your life, you're going to identify with the song more so than others. I mean, I've been dealing with some stuff where I you know, I heard an Adele song in Cinderella and I'm like in tears. I'd heard that. How many times have I heard Nevermind, I'll Find Someone Like You? I never listened to that. I never really listened to it, you know? And so it is like, it's just this fascinating tool that we have to express our emotions. And we really shouldn't be, I mean, we should use it as medicine. You know, that's why you put on Bob Marley. That's why I put on 50 Cent, you know. That's why
I I was like, is she about to say 50 Cent? Yes, she is. Yes.
50 Cent, not 50 Cent. And that shit made me feel good instantly. And I don't know, like, but I am writing some sad ass songs right now.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Like, what have you been writing lately?
Writing sad songs, man.
But what is what? They're sad as relating to the world, sad as relating to romance, like
sad as relating to romance in this particular moment.
Did you get broken up with?
There's some stuff, you know, it's not broken up with, but like I'm definitely in a place I've never been in a relationship, and it just says, you know, dealing with loneliness and things like that and everything that COVID has brought upon us. But I do have those thoughts though. I think I don't really want to put out all this sad music and bring people down. But there is a moment for it within your day if you choose. I wouldn't recommend staying there forever, but it feels good.
You don't make sad music. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Like, you make music that may be about sadness sometimes, but it's not sad music. That's like, I have a playlist called Sad White Girl Music, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, even though your father is Black and you are white passing and you make music that is about sadness, that doesn't mean that you would you would not apply to this list.
You are hilarious. Thank you for pointing out my heritage. I appreciate that. Because it remains a secret until somebody says, what are you? And then I have to explain. So
you and Tori, I feel like.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so let me break it down for you.
I don't know.
I urge all of our listeners to listen to your catalog and correct me if I'm wrong. Because I feel like, you know, that's the case. Now, you said that the last project had a lot of joy in it. What was it about that project that you know, gave you joy? I mean, scenery, like the titles never really tell us anything. So, you know.
Right, right. Sure. Yeah. In that moment, I had moved out of my mother's house, apartment, where I had been, you know, staying with her. And she needed a break. I moved upstate. Just like you said, you needed nature. So did I. Like, I had to get out of the city. The city at that point was just so ambitious, like to a point of no return. I mean, so everybody's trying to make it. There's all this financial people and all, no offense to finances, but I just had to get out. I moved upstate. I learned how to drive. We bought a little car from Joe Conti at Nissan Kingston and, you know, managed to drive it off the lot. I just felt this incredible rush of adventure that I had never felt just being in the city, you know? And so that kind of spawned the songs that are on there. This is a song called Remind Me that I just wrote about, like, having, I don't know, I just had this feeling of like, you know, in the morning when you have your coffee and you're like, anything could happen today. It's everything's possible. I had that feeling, but all throughout the day, even at night. And that's so
dope.
I, you know, it's like in that scenario,
you had hopefulness. That's what that is. I had
hopefulness from a change, from like putting myself in a different situation. And but now it's like, well, how do you find that feeling without moving to a place? Because now I just think, oh, I have to move somewhere to be happier.
Like, can tell you one tip.
Yeah.
Paint a wall.
Paint a wall. Yeah.
And if you don't want to paint it, like you can kind of like get drapery and tack it up. But that is a game changer. And it's not a lot of money. Like, paint
makes you feel different.
It literally will change your whole home in like a second. Like, I painted a wall. Like, I had the same bedroom since I had moved in here, and I had never wanted to paint in this house. And I was used to white walls. And I was just like, fuck it. I'm going to paint one of these walls like a seafoam green. And then I did it. And
that's pretty.
It is like it. And it's comical. Every time you walk in that room, it's my bedroom. And every time you walk in, it feels lighter. Yeah. I used to live, when I lived in New York, I had the great idea that I was going to paint my apartment orange.
Okay. And that's cute.
No.
No.
It's not.
The whole thing.
My whole living room was orange. And it's like, that's cute if we were doing like a special on TV, but it's like to live in. And so I went like, it's just, it's too much. I went through like this traumatic experience, and I would sit in my living room and it would just be like, neek, 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 neek. And I'd be right. Like, I relax. Like, why can't I? And then I realized, like, bitch, you can't relax because your home isn't relaxing. Sitting in the hell. Ooh. These are the flames and fires of hell, and they're burning you alive.
Totally.
So I painted it light blue.
And how was it? Was it instant change?
Instant change for two reasons. One, because the color is serene. But two, because the action of changing your space alone is inspiration. Like it like picks you up. Like, I did it. I did that.
You know, I have a therapist now, and she told me to nest. So I should have just waited till I spoke with you. Save me some money.
I mean, it's really just, I feel like we're having to be like, hold on, this dog, come here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When I met Herbie Hancock, he was like, everyone is creative. Everyone's an artist. And I was like, let's ease it back, Herbs. like, come on, you're being too generous.
And everyone's an artist.
He was like, no, because listen, life requires creativity to even figure out how to live it, how to manage within it. So he was like, you know, everyone may not be creating in the same context, but to actually live, it requires creativity. And I really believe that right now, innovation across a multitude of spaces, whether it's our own living space and our wellness, our businesses, like as a comedian, the people who are going to make it out of here and still be a comic are the ones who are like actively figuring out, how do I still tell jokes if I don't have like the stage time I used to have?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How do I still keep, you know,
adapting,
right?
Yes.
And
I believe that too. I mean, creativity, what Herbie said.
Do you write with your guitar more, or with your piano more? Or like, is it more, usually do you like just write it out by yourself?
I write with a guitar mostly, oftentimes, because I do have limitations there. I'll just, you know, I'll start with a bass line. I think that's like a lot of fun. I wrote a song recently where I was just cutting up some cheese in the kitchen.
Okay.
You know, so that's my new instrument, cheese.
So, and was it a Gouda or was it a Manchego?
You know, I'm a little embarrassed to say it was vegan cheese.
Fair.
And I'm not vegan though. I'm not vegan.
It was Daiya or cashew cheese?
Daiya, baby. How did you know? You're in LA, of course.
I have to be vegan now and I hate it.
Oh, you are vegan? But Daiya is good.
I'm bullshit vegan. I'm vegan on weekdays.
But you got a glow. You got that vegan glow.
Do I?
You look healthy. Yes.
No, this is brown highlighter dick. I looked at myself today and was just like, I need some sun. Like, I just feel like I'm sallow because we're just in the house. And LA sun is not the same as tropical sun.
Is that right?
Yeah. Like, it's, I think also dry. It's fighting through smog. So it doesn't really get you. Like, when I see people sunbathing in LA, I'm like, cut the shit. Like, you're not.
Nothing's happening there.
No, it's hot, but nothing's like actually like happening. So to close this out, as a songwriter, I mean, we talked about everything under the sun, but as a songwriter, what to you makes a song finished? Like, when do you feel like, all right, let's record? Like, do you oftentimes like change the lyrics while you're recording, or do you show up with like, this is what it is?
I like to allow myself the time to have a clean perspective on something. So, you know, sleeping, spending a night without it, waking up to it, that really gives you a fresh perspective. And I think it's important to really be okay with not liking it and not being ready with it, and like having faith that it is going to come together, because it can deter you, the amount of kind of bad ideas that come in within the process. But I think You just know when a story is complete. It's important for me, like I said, with the language, I really want it to sing well, you know? So I like try to choose the right words that will like sound good in coming out of the voice.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it just.
Are there any particular words that don't sound good? Like, I learned my lesson with that one and I'm not doing it again.
Right. I wish my recollection was better, but yes, I mean, there are some ugly ass words out there, you know? That's why people, they say love, heart, they stick with the same stuff.
But it's round. Love, heart.
Yeah. Stay, you know, all these like open words and.
Because, you know, as a comic, there's words that we know are funny.
Oh, okay.
Typically words that have a kuh sound. Like for some
reason. Is that right?
Yeah. So like in my special, I say, I talk about how like Black women give compliments and I'm like, we'll just look at you and tell you what we see. And like, that's the compliment. And so in that moment, there was a woman to my left in red and there was a woman to my right in polka dots. And I had to make the split second decision of who I was going to call out. But polka dot is just a funnier word. Even if I go red, polka dot is still just a funnier sounding word. And so I went, okay, polka dots. And it's become like a thing.
Wow, that's so interesting. And in that moment, you made that decision.
Yeah, I mean, it's split second.
Yeah, when you're writing,
I found that when I was writing jokes, I employ a lot of the same tools that I used when I was writing music.
And yeah, wow, okay.
The musicality of the joke. Is what ends up having a lot of people be able to ride along with it and memorize it. And I used to really dream when I was a musician, like, oh, people are going to know my lyrics. And now it's more like people know my jingles and like they know my jokes. But I think that comes from the songwriter space, you know, and to your point, how does it sound? Like, does it, you know,
And absolutely. Those two things are different. There's so many parallels, you know, and that make them sort of the same craft. But I do find the goal ultimately is to sit, you want to sync up the lyric and the sentiment and the melody. Just if those three things come together, it's magic, you know? And like, how do I make this, how do I give this the emotion without it sounding formulaic? Because you don't want people to listen to a song and say, oh, she put this together like a, you know, like a recipe.
Like a Lego set, yeah.
Yeah, it's, so there has to be, I mean, you have to feel whatever you're talking about. You really have to feel that first. And then hopefully, that's why it's good to improvise, because you don't have time to overthink stuff. And the melody comes out and it's explaining the feeling right away. And then, you know, sometimes for me, it's like, okay, now I just got to get the words to match that feeling. And it's like swimming together. So basically, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yes, you do. Yes, you
That's
do.
What I, it all boils down to. Just like, I just give thanks every time it works out, you know. But it is.
Go ahead.
It's fun. I mean, it can be really fun.
Have you done any like songwriting or collaborating like over Zoom? Like during this time?
No, I haven't. I'm a little bit, I'm not like collaborating enough with people. I usually write by myself, and I'm afraid that it's not gonna work out sometimes. I'm just being honest.
Do you know Ray Angry?
Yes.
Do you ever work with Ray?
Years ago, right around when I met you, I met Ray because the label put us together.
Ray is like literally a ray of light.
Oh.
And I wonder, I don't know. I just feel like that should be revisited because.
Oh, that's cool.
You all have very like just open energies, and Ray is the kind of person that's like, man, like what are we going to do, man? You know, it's like, what do we.
Those are the best kind of collaborators. Yeah. Just there's an enthusiasm there.
I can go to Ray and be like, okay, so what I'm thinking is imagine a musical, but not a musical. Okay. And then the song, like, and then like Curtis Mayfield.
Right.
And then give it like the roots, give it the roots of like Shaka. And he's like, got it.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. That is so fun.
I've gone to him with that. And then I've come to him with like, okay, I'm going to do a song called Niggas Got Me Fucked Up, but I don't want it to feel like angry. I just want it to feel declarative. And he's like, got it.
He's like, I know exactly what you're talking about.
And he'll sit on the phone with me and pluck things out.
Like, see, that's wonderful. I mean, I think that it's a blessing to have somebody. I mean, we don't do it alone. I mean, I am alone a lot of the time, but you know, I am actually alone. But man, so much great music has come from collaboration. It is a magical thing. Truly.
But it's scary because it's scary.
I mean, if you've ever had a bad haircut, which I have right now, but it is kind of scary. I used to go to the barbershop. When I had that undercut, I used to go to the barbershop. They give me sometimes it was busy and they give you the barber that nobody wants. Okay. Ooh. And then you're like, this is a collaboration now. and it doesn't always work out. But thank you. I would like my New Year's resolution. One of them was to be more collaborative.
And what stopped you in the past was your own insecurity about, will they like it?
You know, I am a little bit traumatized from that development experience that I had years ago, where it was just like, I went in to collaborate with so many people and I really lost myself. I kind of allowed myself to get lost. And so, you know, I got issues. You girl got some baggage here.
Yeah.
But I also really enjoy writing. I really enjoy writing by myself too. So.
Yes. And that's the thing. Like, I like hearing you say that because I honestly feel like a lot of times there's this kind of, guilt people give around like wanting to do something by yourself. And I've had to become honest with myself, like that I like working solo.
Yes.
Like
yes.
And that's okay. You know, like I like working solo. I like being the boss in my creative endeavors. Like I've worked in partner scenarios and realized like, oh, I don't like this. And not because I think I'm better than the other person, but it just gets sticky in ways that I'm not, like my disposition doesn't really handle. And if I have a creative vision for something, I know what that is. And I don't want to have to convince. And a lot of times if you're in a 50-50 scenario, you're like, you know, you're both playing that compromise and convincing. Yeah. And I'm like, there isn't even dick involved in this. Like, I don't see you.
So I thank you because yes, I even just now, you know, felt a little bit guilty about saying, hey, I like to work by myself.
No, fuck that. Then you work by yourself. No, that's your process. Myself. I feel like, you know, being able to be honest about your process is the first real step to like owning like how you manifest things and how you get things going. And like, I definitely feel like women in particular are made to feel like we can't do things by ourselves.
Woo. Tell them.
You know? Yes. And so, yeah. And when we do, there seems to always kind of be this assumption like, well, no, but like who else was there? Like, or, you know, and it's like, well, no, I mean, I didn't churn the butter and then make the, you know what I mean? And then, you know, like there were other aspects of this, but I was the visionary in the creating of this piece. And I feel like that should be okay.
Absolutely agree.
Do you have any desire or vision to complete a project during this time?
I do. Going back to the idea of self. I've never like put out a project on my own, you know. And so I'm working on sort of like I'm trying to be okay with myself and my sort of imperfections. And my friend Ben Kane, who I mentioned earlier, was just great. He's a Grammy Award winning mixer from D'Angelo.
Ooh.
Black Messiah.
The Vanguard.
Yes. And so he's got an amazing studio in Brooklyn. He's been letting me go there. And what I really want to do is put out like a little collection of songs that's just a natural sit down, play the song on guitar and sing and just let that be what it is. Because since I've been working, I work from home. I do all of the editing on my vocals, and you allow yourself a little too much time and you can overdo it. And I always try to make everything sound very perfect. And I think there's something to the imperfection in music. I mean, that's what makes it beautiful, isn't it?
Well, there's also something to the imperfection in you, and that's what makes you beautiful.
Thank you. You see it right now. I mean, you see it. You know, it's right in front of you, girl. I appreciate that. She is not lying.
Okay, I wasn't everyone. Ready. You are Emily looking perfectly fabulous. Sitting here in a what color is like a mustard?
It's yellow that's been washed with other colors, so it's now mustard.
I'm with it.
The last dose.
Well, I've been a fan from day one, and
likewise,
I really just again appreciate your I appreciate your attention to detail. I appreciate your quality control and excellence, and it's so apparent in your music. And at a time where I feel like so much of music is just thrown out into the world just for the sake of it's like being made in mass versus like being made to create a piece of work that lasts. Like it just feels, it's like, you know, it feels like fast fashion. Mm-hmm. You know, like when H&M and all these companies started making fast fashion, it was like, this is not about making like art or pieces. This is about just like getting things out there that you can just interchange and you wear it once and you get rid of it. And that's what music for me feels like a lot of times. And when you know, but someone like you, it just doesn't ever feel that way. And I would love to have you back whenever that project is done, because we've started doing episodes of this show. So this show, this episode is Side Effects of Songwriting, but we started doing particular episodes about songs.
Oh, so wow.
Side effects of a song. So the first one we did was Jasmine Sullivan's song on her album Hotels, Girl Like Me, featuring her. And so nice. I break down the song, and like, you know, I talk about the lyrics and I talk about the arrangement and I talk about like what the how the message speaks to a bigger conversation, et cetera. So I would love to
I got to hear that. Oh, thanks. I would love that. That sounds fun. Yeah.
But stick with it.
Thank you, bro.
I know this is like a wild time. You can hit me anytime. And
well, you're my new therapist. As we were talking, I texted my old one that she's fired.
We had a guest on the show, Jessica Lanieto, and she's an astrologist, a psychic. She's many things, but she has a podcast called Ghost of a Podcast. And even if you're not into astrology, it ends up being therapy.
Okay. I send me the link.
I'm going to send you.
No, I got to hear this. No, I just.
It ends up being therapy. She just has like a nature about her that's just like, we can all heal. And it's like a thing that we got to do. And shit is going to be shitty right now. And it's fine. Like, we're going to have to get through it. And what I like about it is that it's not trying to pull the wool over your eyes. Like, oh, shit is not that bad. Of course. Yes, it is.
Right. Right.
Yes, it is. And we can
acknowledge what's happening
without drowning in it. So, and then even if you are drowning in it, she's like, we got to learn how to swim.
I love that. I love that. I love people like that. And you are one of those people.
No, Emily.
Yes, you are. You make Thank the world you. A better place. You gave me a better time today. Yay. And I'm just so happy that we ran into each other on McDougal Street.
On McDougal Street.
Our new Broadway show. On McDougal Street.
On McDougal Street.
Featuring Wu-Tang.
And Amir, Questlove. Possible.
It's all possible, you know?
Honestly, though, I really believe after the pandemic, anything will be possible.
Anything. Are we going to go crazy? Are people going to lose their damn minds?
Yes.
Like, in a good way?
Yes. That's why my goal is, like, just keep it together as much as you can.
Together right now.
Keep creating as much as you can, because when this shit is done, people are going to be excited. Like, oh, my God, what? And I'm like, well, I have 4 musicals for you. So,
right. Here you go.
Here you go. Yeah. Like,
I also know Chinese and speak Latin.
And I'm a yogi. Yeah. So
certified. It's like Neo in the Matrix. That's how I feel right now. Just like, give me that info. Yes.
Osmosis. Well, keep writing. I can't wait to hear this next project. Everyone who's listening, please listen to Emily's au revoir of work.
Girl, and thank you so much.
And the first thing I'm going to do right now is start listening to Scenery.
Hey. Oh, my God. Thank you, girl. So nice talking to you.
You too.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming.
Star Bands Audio. A podcast. A podcast network.